James Doyle Brown, 127883.
Thank you, sir. You agree for the way I'm going to take the policy this morning in reference to a proposed hearing? The names of board members at this time on the screen, and if you look at it to the far left, for example, Michael Johnson, then the Honorable Rittenhouse, then the Honorable Louis Kimmerer, who was our acting board chair, and then my name is David Neal, and I'll be your hearing manager. So I'm going to go with some information, sir, about your sentencing and stuff like that, and then we're going to go with the original offense, and then we'll go into some other questions and answers and kind of see what's going on, okay?
All right.
All right, so to start out, was your 60 years old now, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, so you served a 15-year sentence for attempted child molestation, which began on January 8th, 2012. You become qualified for the sentence on July 9th, 2019. You were certified for this hearing for 12 of the next consecutive sentence. You're actually discharged on February 9th, 2019. Okay. You've had three prior board hearings, and the last hearing you refused to appear. So I'm going to go with the sentencing and the way some of this is done before we actually cover the offense. So you were originally charged with 14 counts of child molesting and a grand jury issued an indictment for the charges. You accepted a plea agreement for 4 counts for attempted child molest, counts 1, 2, 11, and 13 of the original indictment. All of your charges were dropped. All 4 sentences are for 15 years. Mr. Brown, you were expected to count 2 sentences and you're serving count 13, which is consecutive to count 11. Counts 1 and 2 are concurrent with each other, and they are both consecutive to count 13. So this hearing is to consider paroling you to counts 1 and 2 of the offense. And if you read the way I set up that review into your last group of sentences. Does that sound correct?
Yeah, that sounds the way I remember the sentence.
Yeah, it's a little bit confusing because one thought that way they jumped around with the numbers and all that stuff. This has got concurrence and consecutives and all of this.
And the last sentence, I don't believe, is parole eligible.
Yeah, there we go. You just would be putting you into, if granted, you would be going to a true charge, which is actually a one consecutive with other one. And your last charge, but the only way for a parole eligibility is until you clear your sentences, because if the board would have granted you a parole the next second sentence, you would go down. If we didn't grant you and you killed the numbers on the current sentence, that's when your start date would be available. That's why there's no parole eligibility dates yet on those acting charges. But yeah, they can't calculate until they know exactly when you started. Okay, so it seems that the offense was that over a period of time, you molested your 3 daughters, their mother was aware of the situation in 1995 when the first allegations were made. She never convinced the girls to not admit to the offense, and that you would stop the unwanted advances of the girls. You're not prosecuted, but you continue the molest until one of the the one, until one dollar to be over 1907. So, why, I'm going to get a little bit more information before we do any questions. So, you have some kind of history before all this happened in Prescott, in the burglary in 78, and disorderly conduct in 1995, and a whole lot. You only had two tickets since your incarceration, and the last one was in 2004. We had a little program, and you had no in our packet, and no record of any sex in the program. So, have you exhausted all the programming that I've given you at this point in time?
With the amount of length of my sentence, I'm not eligible to take a lot of programming because I have so much time left on my sentence. They prefer to give these guys that are within 2, 3, 4 years of going home the programming. And they figure they have all kinds of time before they have to program guys like me. I'm only about 22 years into this. They figure, well, they got another 23 years before they send me out of here, so they got plenty of time for my programming.
Okay. So you haven't had any sex offender training or counseling or all that?
Okay. No, sir, I haven't.
Okay. You don't need a release for this time, and on your progress report, or you said you could live with your mother. So,
yes.
There's always a possibility of that, sir. So, let's see, but I haven't found any, there's nobody here in your support, and I haven't found any real support information in the packet. Is your family living here, or is there another state here?
My mom lives up in Cottonwood, that's up in the very valley by Flagstaff, in the other part of the county. I'm in complex asking what I needed to do to prepare for my next parole board, and I never received any correspondence from them. I was wanting to prepare for this, but I didn't know what to do other than show up here and talk with the board. And
a lot of times what you need to do is keep doing what you're doing. You're staying out of trouble.
Yes.
And you need to pursue whatever program you can get. And there are things available that if they don't give you the Department of Corrections training, there are things available through a lot of the community colleges, and there's some other colleges out there too that you can do correspondence courses with. We get inmates come in that they go on life sentences, and they're looking at another, because they've got a consecutive life sentence, they're looking at 25 more years, and they may never get out, but they've got a stack of certificates from they're like junior colleges, and there's a lot of them out there, and they're, even though I think it's better to be in a more tightly controlled environment for sex offender treatment, but there are some self-improvement courses out there too. So, if they don't give you anything in the inside, at least to keep yourself busy and show that you do have an intent to learn and move forward, there's those there that you can look at too.
Well, I have taken several CAC courses while I'm in here. I've taken two different janitorial classes. I've taken a plumbing class. I've received my certificates in those. I took a couple of other classes that DOC offered. I can't think of the names of them.
Right. Well, we have a record of that. Of what you've taken through the Department of Corrections. And if you take something from an outside group or something like that, And usually the AA and NA type courses are available to anybody on the water. Those kind of issues from ticket for each, you know, each step through it and stuff like that, but unless we provide the certificates to the board, we don't get a record of what you do outside of the prison as far as education goes.
I can tell you this, before I come to prison, I had a trouble with drinking and I had trouble with drugs. And this is one of those situations that, you know, it shouldn't have ever came to this, but I don't know if it shows how many UAs I have had since I've been incarcerated, but it's usually 2 or 3 UAs a year, and after 22 years, I've never had a positive. I've never had a dirty UA. I do not have a problem with alcohol or drugs anymore. That's one of those life-changing things that I wish never happened, but it took that to make me realize that I had a drinking problem, and there's alcohol and there's drugs all over in the prison system, and I have no problem with leaving it alone. I don't mess with it.
Well, you need to be commended for that, for doing a good job. Like I said, you're doing a good job. You're staying out of trouble. And if you're not doing drugs or alcohol, you're definitely staying out of trouble. I mean, it's hard to miss that stuff when you're incarcerated. Hard to stay away from it because of peer pressure and those kind of things. If you can't get any sex offender treatment inside at this point in time, if you can pursue even if it's just one more class, the more classes you take, the more chance you've got of staying out of trouble. You keep yourself busy, and if you're learning things while you're, keeping yourself busy, that's all good. And, if you're working while you're in there, you've got a job in there, then I know you can't do as much programming because of schedules and all that kind of stuff.
I've worked for DOC most of the 22 years I've been in here. I have about 12, 13 years with ACI, I've had other jobs with DOC. I'm currently a bathroom porter in our building right now.
Good. Okay, I want to go back to what happened that got you sent to jail in the first place. So, over a period of time, you arrested all three of your robbers, correct?
It was only the two oldest.
Okay. And reading it, it is a little bit confusing with the statement for you. But you were molesting your own children over quite a period of time. And in 95, I guess it was, that one of your daughters brought it up, and you got in trouble, but the girls then recanted or wouldn't say anything to begin with. And you were able to walk away from it, but then you continued.
Back then, I was drinking a lot, and I was taking pain medication for my back. That person is not who I am, and to this day, I am embarrassed of myself and ashamed of myself for my actions. And that's just not me. That's not who I am.
So,
and that's why I took the 45-year plea agreement. I sobered up in jail, and I just I told myself if I'm capable of that, this is where I need to be.
Well, so this was going on for 8 or 9 years, it looks like. In 1995, it came up, and that's when you got in trouble and got away with it. And then it was later in 2012 when...
No. I was arrested in January 9th, 1997. I've been incarcerated since 1997.
Okay. All right, I think I got my date. You know, it's not the wrong date for the start of the sentence. It's that I slipped. That was the second sentence, so... Okay, but it's still, whether it's 2 or 3 or 4 years worth of...
It was actually about a year and a half, and so that's about how long I was on the pain pills.
Okay, but according to the dates in the report, sometime in 1995, one of the daughters complained. There was apparently an investigation, and then they didn't uphold their own stories or anything. It wasn't enough for the authorities to do anything. And the girls were promised that you would stop, but you continued. So let me ask you this, sir. And I know you're not by the terms of your plea agreement or law and the law, you're not just having contact with your daughters. Do you know where they're at?
Shannon, last I heard, Dolores is in Oklahoma, and Felicia, she's the second. Last I heard, she's either in North Carolina or South Carolina. And Nicole, as far as I know, she's in Missouri with her mom.
Okay, do you ever have any contact with your ex-wife now?
Yeah, we've been divorced probably about 12 to 14 years now.
Okay.
Maybe longer. Probably longer.
Okay. Okay, I don't have any questions at this time.
That's one question. So I wasn't real clear with it. These are natural daughters or your stepdaughters?
These were my natural daughters.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Any other questions? I'm sure we're nearing the end of the hearing. The board will end the discussion shortly to make a determination. But before we do that, I'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Tell us anything else that you think we might need to know. But we just ask you, you don't repeat all the information we've already covered, but if there's something else we're going to close, now would be the time.
No, I've pretty much said what I had to say. I intentionally took a 45-year plea agreement because I know where I belong.
Okay, thank you, sir. Before we go into discussion, we'll be talking amongst ourselves to make this determination. You may think we're addressing you, but we won't be. But stay on the phone. You can hear the entire conversation, and then when we have made a decision, I'll get back with you, okay?
All right.
More of my discussion. Now, this is, I would call this a tragic case because of the overall circumstances. It does seem that Mr. Brown has taken full responsibility for what he's done, and he's remorseful about it. He has served quite a bit of time, and let's see if he does. If we're moving forward, we're going to a pair of concurrent 15-year sentences, And he's living in the nursing home somewhere around the figure of 2039. I don't know, I don't... The father was sex offender training, and one of the things that he would be able to do to make it a work given to him before he was out. I'm looking to consider moving forward at this point in time. I think one of my problems is the gravity of the offense. Terrible, I'm sure, in the lawsuit. It's suspected and terrible when we're arrested by the impairment. It's even more compound than that when the murder knows and doesn't really do anything about it. And with the overall circumstances and the gravity of that, I'm not comfortable with that. For the next consecutive sentence, I'm not going to start. But I'm going to listen to discussion from my fellow board members.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. I just because of this crime occurred over a 5 or 6 year period, and there's a statement in one of the reports I read that indicated he was grooming his third victim at that point. I can't support any sort of role.
Thank you. Mr. Canales.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. I agree with both of you. I do want to say that I do appreciate his sense of accountability. And as you stated, the weight of this crime is great. Or paraphrased in place.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, so based on all the information we have today and our discussion, I'm going to move to deny Mr. James Brown, AG 127883, deny all the next consecutive sentence and an absolute discharge at this time.
Second.
Agreed.
Mr. Lambert, second, and Mr. Canales, and then by Mr. Canales, and Mr. Johnson. And I'm going to ask for a number of And the reasons are serious and immediate offense. There's going to say trauma to victims, alien victims, multiple victims, victim harassment.
Sir, if you could give the phone back to your COP, we'd appreciate it.